certainly appreciative of the opportunity to worship with you here again. I want to say before I let it slip my memory how much we appreciate your godly, abundant hospitality.
Amen.
All your kindness and how welcome you make us feel. We thank you for that, and it's good to have you as a neighbor. Certainly appreciate your prayers. Delighted to have Elder Carl Staten to follow me. I hope that you will pray for him. God being my helper, and if he would deliver me for a little bit, I would like to present to you in something that you already know, and I trust that most of what you heard you already knew. But I would like to talk to you about the most beneficial tool that we have as God's people. I think that we have neglected it. Brother Randy made a few remarks about it. But I believe it to be the most powerful weapon that we have as God's children. They can take us individually and shut us up in prison, but they cannot prevent us from praying to our Almighty God. God being my helper, I'd like to talk to you about prayer for a few moments. And I realize that I could not even begin to acquaint you with most of what the Scripture says, because you already, I'm sure, are aware of it. But I would like to show you that the Word of God says that there, and I want to go to the Scripture and prove that the Word of God says that there are three answers to any prayer that one of God's children pray. I want to use some examples, and a particular example in the Old Testament that I get inspired every time I read it. And I get a lesson out of it, but be that as it may, I want to read to you from the second chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, and we should look up that word too, supplication. It carries with it the idea of being really ready to give an oath to God for deliverance. It's to beg God. To get out and get serious and beg God. I would that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Here's the part that just kind of touches my heart. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When we read in the Word of God that something is acceptable with God, it should catch our attention. You know, I think about people that you so adore that there's no way that you could express in words your love to them. And maybe an affliction or a catastrophe comes in their life, and you would that you could do something for them.
Yes.
And you'd jump at the opportunity just to get to do something for them. It's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We should jump at the opportunity when it says something is acceptable with God and it's good to Him. After what He's done and is doing and shall do for us, how we should jump at the opportunity tells us what to do. And my friends, it doesn't matter how sophisticated you are, how sophisticated your words are. And I visit people as these other elders do. We visit people in the nursing homes confined to quarters. They can't carry themselves. I have a 97-year-old that is a member of our church, and I'll go visit him, and he'll say, "You know, I just don't understand why the Lord's keeping me around." I said, "Well, brother," he said, "there's nothing I can do." I said, "Brother, you can pray." You know, one of the first things we ought to teach our children, as soon as they're old enough to understand anything, is they have a God they can talk to.
Amen.
They have a God that'll listen.
Amen.
Not just that they can talk to, that they'll listen. That God will listen. God hears their prayers.
Amen.
Friends, it might be the prayer of that little old sister in the nursing home bed that's sparing this nation until today. It might be the prayer of that little child who says, "God help us," that's saving this nation today. Let us not get too big for our britches. That it could very well be the little feeble prayers of the unthought of saints that are sparing this nation, that we have freedom and liberty to go about as we would. I remember in the Old Testament there was an Old Testament character by the name of Moses. You know how the story goes with Moses, and how he was doubtful. How he tried to finagle out of his charge that God gave him. Be that as it may, he come to the end of his close of his life. Children of Israel was about to go into the promised land, and he wanted to go in. You remember he prayed to God, "God, I want to go in and see this land." What was God's answer to him? No. It's kind of hard for us to accept that answer, isn't it? We ask a prayer, a request from God, and we ask for something that we really think that we just really want. We have to understand, friends, God knows better what we need than we know ourselves. We must understand that. Just like we as parents knows what's best for our children. The answer to Moses was, God says, "No. And don't bother me anymore with this matter. It's all settled." Now, have you ever heard it said, well, if you didn't get what you prayed for, you wouldn't pray it in faith? That's foolishness. Sometime, God knows, the answer is no. We must ask God for help to accept it. May God help us to accept the answer, no. Sometimes the answer is yes, and right away. You remember when Peter was walking on the water? And it wasn't a long prayer. Somebody said if he had prayed a long prayer, he'd have drowned. It wasn't a long prayer. Boisterous winds and waves were about him. You see, the fact of the matter is he took his eyes off the Lord. And he says, "Lord, help." The Lord did not delay. The Lord helped. The Lord is sometimes an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Shadow of a great rock in a weary land, covered from the storm, from the tempest. We read about characters. My wife and I can certainly identify with this. We read about a couple by the name of Abraham and Sarah who longed for a child. No doubt, they prayed. They prayed a long time. They prayed for a child. But you see, the answer wasn't no. The answer wasn't yes immediately. The answer was, as many times, not yet. That's another answer that we forget sometimes. You see, when you're a little boy, I want you to take the training wheels off of the bicycle when you know good and well he's not ready yet. The answer's not no. The answer's not yes. Answer, not you're not quite ready yet. God knows exactly at the right time for deliverance.
Yes.
I read about another couple in the New Testament by the name of Zechariah and Elizabeth. No doubt that they prayed long, and they had surrendered. They'd give up. No doubt God doesn't intend for us to have a child. As you know, the story goes, God comes to Zechariah when he was privileged to offer sacrifices in the temple. and says you're going to have a son? The answer was not yet. Now the time had come. Now the time had come. See, don't give up, friends. Don't give up. My point being is don't give up on prayer. Just because it doesn't happen when or the way that we think it might happen, don't give up. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is immediately. Sometimes the answer is not yet. By the way, do you realize that prayer is praise? Do you know that you can learn how to pray? The disciples came to Jesus and says, Lord, they didn't say teach us how to preach. They didn't say teach us how to sing. Lord, we want to sing much better. No, friends, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Praying is a learning process. You can learn how to pray. You can learn how to talk to the Lord. It doesn't have to be sophisticated. But you got to remember this. It's got to come from here. It's got to come from right in here. Oh yes, we can word prayers very attractive. Your prayer better be from the heart. Now I want to go to an Old Testament. I just love this occasion in some ways. In some ways it's kind of sad. You want to go with me to the 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 15, 16. Don't get scared. I'm not going to speak on all of it. There's an individual over here that teaches us a wonderful lesson. I learn every time I read it. Abijah slept with his father, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now Asa, of all the kings that we read about in the Old Testament, Asa was a good man. And Asa was blessed by God to put away the idols. He put away and destroyed the temples and cut down all the groves. And God blessed him tremendously. And it makes the statement, and he took away the altars, the strange gods, and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away, this is chapter 14, verse 5, and also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places of the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Stay with me here. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make us about walls, and towers, and gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Asa had many armies. Asa had a good army. You know he had a good army? He had 200,000 men of one particular sort. And then he had 280,000 of another sort. 300,000 men of one kind, particular soldiers. And then he had 280,000 particular men of another kind of soldiers. He had 580,000 good men that could fight war. So, God gives him a test. I am persuaded that God gave him a test. Come before him, the Ethiopians, with an army of 1,000,000. The Ethiopian has an army of 1,000,000. They're outnumbered, aren't they? Let's just change since I went to school. 1,000,000 outnumbers 580,000. They're outnumbered. Except they have God on their side. And then Asa went out, verse 10, then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Ziphath of Merashah. And Asa, here's the prayer that Asa cried. Here's the prayer that, and I just love this prayer. Asa cried unto the Lord, and he said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to deliver by many or with them that hath no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against the multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. That wasn't a long prayer, was it? He didn't have to wait. God delivered he and his army and 580,000 against 1,000,000. God delivered him and destroyed and scattered the Ethiopian army. Here's what the priest told him after on his way back from that victory. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel had been without a true God, without a teaching priest, without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And a nation was destroyed, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard this, he heard these words of the prophecy of Obed the prophet. He took courage. He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw the Lord God was with them. You know that there are people that risk and even give their lives to bring their families to this country. You realize that? Actually, people risk and give. Wow, we are envied of the world. We're envied of godless nations because that God has been so good and we have so much to enjoy. We are envied of other nations, and they risk and give their lives. This is what was happening here. The people fell out of Israel. Now remember, Israel and Judah had been split some time back, in Solomon's days, Israel and Judah had been split. Now we have, get this. This is an important part to get. That this is all of one family. We're talking about the sons of Jacob are at war with each other. We've been our own worst enemies, friends. We have been our own worst enemies. And Israel is about to go against Judah again. And there came from Israel, the king of Israel, Baasha. And he built a city against Judah. Prevented them from going in and out. And so what does Asa do? He hires the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And he takes the silver and the gold that was dedicated to the house of God. He takes the silver and the gold out of the house of God, and he devotes them or uses them to hire Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, to defeat Israel, their own brethren, their own family. He hires them, the king of Syria, to defeat Israel. I'm afraid, friends, at the expense of our young men and women. At the expense of our young men and women that come out of that could be in the house of God. I don't want to spiritualize things, but I just want you to think. Are we dependent upon the military? Is it really the military that you depend on for the freedom that you enjoy in this land? To still have the privilege to be free to go about, come into the house of God, and without molestation from government officials? Is it because of our military? Is that the one you're depending on? If it is, you're depending on the wrong one, friends. Well, I can't appreciate our military. Give me 100, give me 50, give me
five sincere saints on their knees, sincere, with hearts bowed to God, crying to God, I'll take them over a fleet of stealth bombers.
I can appreciate our military, but friends, that's not where my dependence is on. I do not believe that'll be what will spare this nation if we are to enjoy freedom the rest of our lives and for a future for these children. Not going to be our military. Certainly not going to be our elected officials. If you're looking to man, and I made this statement pulpit at home not too many weeks ago, the coming up election, most likely, you're going to be like me. You're going to be voting against somebody. It's a sad day, friends, when all we can do is vote against somebody. That's a sad day. But if you're looking to that one that you're not voting against to deliver this nation, you're looking to the wrong one. It's going to take the heart, sincere prayer of the saints of God, assembled in sincerity, putting aside all distractions, and praying in sincerity to God. It's going to take the children to learn they have a God ready at beckoning. Asa took the silver and gold out of the house of God for freedom, depending upon the hire of Ben-Hadad and the king of Syria to defeat Baasha, king of Israel. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? And so God sent a seer. A prophet was before called a seer to Asa. Here's what he said. And Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them unto thine hand. See, they were not a lot different from the apostles that got in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they told them to get in the boat, and says, let us go to the other side. Then when the storm come up, they says, Lord, what are we going to do? Here you are asleep and the storm's going to drown us. They had forgotten that he had said that we're going to the other side. Asa had forgotten that they had just been delivered from a 580,000 against 1,000,000. But he cried unto the Lord, whom is his life. It closes out by saying, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may show himself strong on behalf of a particular people. Of them whose heart is perfect toward God. That's who he'll show himself strong on behalf. That perfect carries with it the idea of being mature, complete, full grown toward him. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. See there, that says all men. Look at the context. For kings, for rulers, for all that are in authority. All kinds of men in all positions.
Amen, brother. That's right.
For this is good in the sight of God, our Savior, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. May God help us to remember that he is at our beckoning. That doesn't mean he's going to immediately come. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is immediate. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Don't surrender just because it's not when, how, and where you think. Just look to the Lord Let us pray. Let us pray. Sincerely, earnestly pray. Exhort God. Look to God. Ask God. You see, you say, well, it's nothing I can do in the church. I'm not a deacon. I can't be a deacon. You can pray. So my friends, you sisters, you just don't realize what your prayers very well could be doing. You just don't realize what your position in the house of God with an earnest, sincere heart of prayer could be doing. It could be another day for our children. God has spared our nation, or this nation. It's not ours, it's His. You know, I see bumper stickers that says, I see authorities, officials that sign off, God bless America. That's nothing but words, friends, if it's not sincere.